ITR 101.9 FM. That was Willow Thixon recording an episode from afar. She is on the Powwow Trail, and that was Powwow Edition 2. So for more Unseated Airwaves, you can tune in every Monday from 11 to 12. Up next, we've got Synchronicity on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded ancestral territories of the Hukkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Thanks so much. Tune in next week. Take care.
This UBC Recreation Free Week. Come out for a Krav Maga self-defense trial class. On May 16th or 18th, from 4:30 to 5:45 at the UBC Rec Center, come learn empowering self-defense for an array of real-life scenarios from two black belt instructors. Everyone is welcome to attend. Women, men, students, staff, and the public. Visit recreation.ubc.ca for more information.
I'm Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Join me Mondays at noon as we explore the universal energy that connects us all. Let's discuss our journey of self-discovery, joy, presence, and living with authenticity. We can create positive change in the world, and it starts within each one of us. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Hello and welcome to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and you might be listening to this on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, where we broadcast from unceded Musqueam territory on the University of British Columbia campus. Or you might be watching on youtube.com/spiritualshow where the video is posted. Or you might be listening online at CITR.ca, cosmicdimensions.com, empowerradio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network. And I'm totally excited today to introduce Kara Bradley. She is the author of On the Verge, Wake Up, Show Up, and Shine, which is kind of what this show is really all about, is finding what makes us shine and what makes us the best people we can be to show up in the world. So I'm super excited to have Kara on the show. And Kara, am I saying your name?
Yep, you're good. Perfect. You're good. Thank you, Marie, for having me.
Yay. So thank you so much for being here. Kara Bradley is a former pro skater, a lifelong teacher, a mental strength coach, and the founder of Verge Yoga in suburban Philadelphia. And Kara hosts the podcast Real Women, Courageous Wisdom. She teaches international retreats and presents yoga and mindfulness programs at conferences and universities nationwide and online. And you can find her at KaraBradley.net, and I will post the link to her website as well in the description on the YouTube video as well as in the podcast area on CITR.ca, but it's KaraBradley.net. Welcome to the show, Kara.
Thank you. Great to be here. Can't wait to get talking.
Yay. So I read your book a couple of months ago, and I've got some little tabbies here and everything, and one of the things I love getting to read a book and then interviewing the author because I get to ask all the questions. But there was a little bit of a delay, I think, in when I read the book and I was wanting to get your app because you have this app that helps. And we're going to talk about that because it just came out. We'll talk about it in a little bit. But what is the essence of On the Verge, Wake Up, Show Up, and Shine?
Well, the book is about recognizing that you're already awake and fully alive. I've been teaching for a long, long time, and I've seen a lot of us, including myself, beat ourselves up for what we don't do, what we aren't, what we should be doing, what we did do, all the yada, yada, yada ways to judge ourselves and beat us up. And what I have recognized from 30 years of teaching and watching people, watching them light themselves up, watching them move, watching them come alive, is that we already have everything we need. We just spend a whole lot of time talking about what we don't have. And so On the Verge is really a way of recognizing what you already are. Every day and every moment, we have this capacity to feel awake, to feel alive, to feel lit from within. So I'm just pointing to a different, just offering you an opportunity or the possibility that perhaps there's a different way to live. Instead of looking at what's not happening, how about we look at what is already happening? So that's kind of the long version.
Beautiful. Well, Kara, not many of us are blessed to grow up remembering this. I think I saw a talk on Oprah's Super Soul Sunday website
just the other day
on Mother's Day, talking about how as children, we already are that. And at some point, society, the adults in our lives, kind of forcibly cut us off from that. So I'm just curious if you could share a little bit about your experience on how you discovered or rediscovered that it was already there for you.
That's great. Yes, I will. I'm so happy to talk about that. And thank you for bringing that up, because that really comes, you're pointing to the essence of what I'm talking about. We already have this natural clarity, curiosity, compassion for life, connectedness with life. We get bogged down with life, and it bogs down our mind, and it holds our hearts, and it shuts us off from that which we already experienced as children. So when I was 19 years old, I had an experience as a college track runner. I was running my last race because I was transferring schools, so I knew this was going to be my last race, and I was a mediocre runner at best. But on that day, I did something different. Knowing it was my last race, I went off on my own, and I took a slow jog by myself, and I started talking to myself as a 19-year-old, remember. Come on, just beat your personal record, you know? You could do this. And so I started saying to myself over and over again, personal best, personal best, personal best. What I didn't realize I was doing was that I was settling my mind. I was calming my nervous system. I was shifting beyond doubt and fear that had held me back my whole career. And so when I stepped up onto the starting line that day, I was in a different state of mind. And I wouldn't call it a peak state. If anything, I call it a very ordinary natural state. I remember just kind of standing there like, all right, here we go. My last race. And I went off, I took off, it was two laps. First lap, not much happened, just kind of ran it. Second lap though, I passed our best mid-distance runner. And I thought to myself, wow, she must be having a really bad day. Because I was the mediocre runner, remember. I came in third place, my teammates jumped on me. I had no idea what happened. Until I looked at the clock and realized I'd shaved 6 seconds, six, off my personal record. And I thought to myself immediately, wow, I did it. Within a snap of a finger, I recognized that I had never been able to tap into that. And I thought, are you kidding me? You mean I always had that strength that was always in me this whole time? And so from that day forward, I started asking myself questions. What happened? What was that state I was in? How did I get there? How do I do it again? Not just in sports, but in every area of my life. I knew I had tapped into something extraordinary, but I felt more genuinely me and ordinary than I'd ever felt or remembered feeling. And so that really set me on my journey, not to finding something new, but actually to refinding, right? Relearning what we already have always had and we remember perhaps as having as children.
I love that. And there's so many questions that came up as you were sharing that story. So just to clarify, it sounds like even though you hit a personal best and shaved 6 seconds, which I'm not a runner, but that's probably...
It's a lot.
A lot, yeah. but it doesn't sound like you were pushing yourself harder. It was more of just like, I'm just showing up and I'm going to do the best I can without exerting extra.
Yes. And this is such an important point. And the reason why I share this story is because it has a lot of the elements that a lot of the masters speak about and the ancient traditions talk about, when we can show up in this moment, available for whatever's arising right here, there's often a sense of relief. It's like putting down the baggage after walking through the airport with the heavy load, right? I put down the doubt and the fear that had been holding me back. I put down the conversation in my mind that had always plagued me during my race. You can't, you this, you that, you should, you don't, right? For some reason, I had put it all down. And so I was liberated. I was free. And I think this is something that many, many people have had this experience. It's like being at the beach and looking at the ocean. It's just that feeling of just being at ease. At ease. Yeah. That's where we shine, when we're at ease in the moment.
And that, and yet that's hard for so many of us. Because I did actually I tried stand-up comedy for the first time. My boyfriend's a comedian, and I do this, and just for the sort of public speaking experience, and just to kind of, because I had said for like 6 months that I was going to try it, and then I kept putting it, was going to do it, and I had it all written out with punchline by punchline, and then I thought, there's no way that I don't have time to memorize this and deliver it in a way that's natural. Mm-hmm. So I decided, well, I'm just going to have an idea of what I'm going to talk about, get up there and do it. But part of me was kind of feeling like, am I slacking off? Am I being lazy? Am I, like, all of these judgments came up, even though I was in the middle of like the most stressful week I've had probably in the last years. And I told myself, I'm not going to put it off, because if I do that, then it's just going to become another habit. So anyway, I'm all over the place. It's like, I got up, and even though I was nervous, people said I looked natural doing it, nervous. And I think part of it was because I wasn't memorizing. I wouldn't be natural. And yet we tend to judge ourselves that. You're not working hard enough. You're not trying. You're not prepared. So what's going on in that kind of situation?
Yeah. So that's a great question. And we all, I mean, I'm sure everybody listening can relate, right? We demons, these emotional demons that in some ways they crowd us and they shut us down. And when we may be showing up to do something, like what you did, which is really courageous, by the way, I have to say, or anything, you know, asking for a raise, asking for a promotion, asking for a boyfriend, you know, whatever it is. When we're carrying the load of our busy mind, I call our busy mind just the collection of things we hold onto that keep us from showing up naturally present in the moment. Anything that's holding our mind or holding our heart is going to block us in some capacity from just really coming through with our natural intelligence. We already have everything we need. Everything we need to show up and shine. Of course, you can learn skills here and there, and that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is our deep knowing of what needs to be said. So what you were doing was trusting that if you just let it be, because you had studied it, you had prepared, right? But if you just allowed yourself to trust that your inner intelligence, this deep intelligence, would come through and support you, you know, when we start to trust that, that's called shining. That's when we really tap into this deep knowing that we all have. And so that's really what it means to live on the verge. It's to show up in this moment, fully available for whatever is arising, whether it be good, bad, not so good, you know, whatever it is, we show up, face it, and live this moment of our precious life.
Mm-hmm. So again, we're speaking with Kara Bradley, author of On the Verge, Wake Up, Show Up, and shine. And you can find her at carabradley.net. I love the cover and the colors.
Yeah.
I just want to show it. But you mentioned the showing up for the negative, and I'm pretty sure it's your book, but it was a few weeks ago. But I think there was an experience you had with someone who you cared about who became quite ill. Able to show up through that.
Well, it was actually the death of a young boy.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So I had been in the middle of writing this book last March, and a friend of ours, very good friends of my husband and I, we've known them for many, many years. Their son went missing at 13. And we were the first ones to show up at their house the morning after he had gone missing. And for 4 days afterward, we supported them, stood right by their side as thousands of people in our community searched for this young boy. It was horrific, like the biggest, you know, the biggest parent's nightmare ever. And I was standing by my girlfriend's side 24/7. And 4 days later, they found out that he had taken his life and he was in their backyard covered by snow. What I experienced during those 4 days and the week after before his memorial was an incredible aliveness, a presence. I was right there in the moment for my friend who I care for so deeply. I didn't let my own agenda, my own fears, my own clinging on to my daughters, any of that noise get in the way of me just being there for her. I just wanted to be there for her so clean, such a clean way, so that if she needed to cry or laugh or just talk through a situation, I was there. And that's what it means to show up and shine. It means to be available for life in this moment, no matter what. And to be available means to not be burdened by your negative emotions, your past stories or judgments or worries about what people may say. You know, it's like when we can just show up clean, we know exactly what to do, like you knew what to do standing up in that comedy show. And I learned that in the most intense environment imaginable, for me anyway.
Thank you for sharing. I mean, I don't have children, but I can only imagine the horror and the terror. And in that situation, so many similar situations where someone else is hurting, it's so common for us to try to fix it or try to say, cheer up or suck it up, or at least it's not as bad as this. And we put all these things, like you said, our own agenda of this is uncomfortable for me, so I'm going to try and do control you and how you're feeling.
Yeah.
And even in the, like you said, really the most horrific thing a parent could ever imagine going through, you were able to, I mean, how... trying to think of how to ask this. And there was obviously beauty in that experience, even through the horror of it.
Yeah. Oh, that's so well said. It was a beautiful experience of being human. And had I been caught up in trying to fix the situation or make my friend feel better, you know, bring her food, scurry around, clean her house. There are plenty of others doing that. But I felt like my job, because I'm so close to her and to the couple, was really just to stand by her side. During national news press conferences, I was just right by her side so that if she needed to squeeze my hand, I was right there. Without needing to fix or force. Right. And I write this about this in my book, in this strategy called Let It Go, Let It Be. It's really about letting go of our agenda and allowing ourselves to step into the fullness of what it means to be human right now. And we don't know what that's going to mean in any given moment. Right. I mean, the most unexpected thing could arise. And can we be awake enough to just show up for it? This is like the brilliance of being alive. This is it. you know?
I've got, thanks to you and your book, I actually have Let It Go, Let It Be up here on my computer and on the back of my phone because I was waiting for this app to come out. I was so frustrated. I'm like, it's all throughout the book. The app is talked about. I want this app. Where is it? It's now out. We'll talk about it in a second. But I've got on the back of my phone here. Let it be.
Let it be. I love it. It's awesome.
And it did. It has helped me so much, just that exercise. And I've got my boyfriend reminding me, let it go. Like, whether it's me trying to control, I'm one of those people who's ultra conscientious. So if something's not being done the right way and I have any investment in it, immediately I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to take over. I have to make sure that you're teaching the right thing or the world might come to an end. But I'm just like, no, let it go. Yeah. It's not my responsibility.
Yeah.
And it's just saved so much energy.
Yeah.
Because we spend so much of our energy attaching ourselves to outcomes that don't even have anything to do with us or are completely out of our control half the time.
Yeah, that's great. That's really wonderful. And just to clarify for those of you listening or watching, let it go, let it be. I mean, this is in context of all the other stuff that I write about. It's really an interrupter. So I'm not saying to just, you know, lay down on the ground and let people walk all over you. I mean, this isn't the point, of course, but it's to start to continue to recognize when you do get clingy or when you, the words I use are force, fix, and flee in moments, right? So when moments get heated or when there's something we feel like a person that kind of, you know, that we work with that we don't think is doing the right thing, we want to fix them. It's all this stuff that we're doing to try to control the moment as opposed to experiencing the moment. So let it go, let it be as a strategy to just interrupt you in the middle of perhaps a controlling moment or a pushing moment or a moment that you want to run away from an uncomfortable situation.
Thank you for clarifying that. And I'm curious in your experience, once you start focusing on learning these strategies, how common is it that you end up having more opportunities to practice?
So what happens when we start to show up in the moment is we start noticing what it feels like to show up on the verge. So the verge, it just backtracking means, is my way of just saying this moment. To live on the verge is to live in this moment, right? To show up, wake up, show up, and shine in this moment. What happens when we start to recognize what it feels like to be alive, and we can talk about that because I've got some great little tips, is that we start to also recognize when we're not present. And this is really a great, great turning point for all of us. When you could start to notice, I'm just about to pick up too many things when I get out of my car and try to drag 7 bags of groceries in at the same time, I know something's gonna fall and drop, right? Like, we all do that. We just do too many things at once. Or we are writing an email and eating and talking and the email comes out wrong and we send it. And like, when we can start to recognize when we're not present, we become present. We start to recognize more and more and more, okay, place your coffee cup away from your laptop, right? Now place your phone on the table by the door so you don't forget where it is. You know, and this isn't being anal, it's just being mindful. We just start to notice more. And that's so much of what my book is about noticing and recognizing where you are and how you're living.
I love it. Okay, well, I have so many questions, and you mentioned earlier in your story about when you were 19 and running in track, your personal best. So I'd like to talk about that, but you also mentioned that you have some tips. So first of all, if you're listening on the radio and you're just tuning in, we are speaking with Kara Bradley. She's the author of On the Verge, Wake Up, Show Up, and Shine. love this book. And you can see I've got little tabbies and I've got the let it go, let it be on my phone because I need it. I need to tattoo to the inside of my eyelids some of these things to remember. But I try to use little reminders.
Ouch.
No. Well, that way I would never forget. But you have an app as well, so we will talk about that. But what do you think is most important to address at this juncture?
Okay. Well, like I said before, I've been teaching practices, movement practices, my entire life. And I notice that in general, we beat ourselves up. You know, I teach yoga right now and meditation, and I find people constantly saying, I do this, I do this, I do this, I should do this, I can't do that. Well, if we can start to recognize moments when we feel bright or awake or clear, and start to recognize that those moments are important too. These are moments when we've slipped beyond the busy mind, when we have arrived in the space between thought, even for a breath or two. They're happening already. So I'm going to ask you a question, okay? Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Okay. What makes you feel fully alive?
That's a good question. Well, I mean, from all the work that I've done, I know that it's being in fully experiencing and being in the present moment. Like when you were in that situation with your friend, mm-hmm. I find it's interesting because I find myself getting worked up over little insignificant things that don't matter. Yet, if I'm in an emergency situation,
right,
where somebody's got to step up and be present, it's almost natural. Time slows yeah. down. You just do what needs to be done in the moment. And right. it's almost like when there's some kind of tragedy, like in 9/11.
Yes.
New Yorkers are known for not being very friendly or connecting, but when there's a tragedy, that all changes and people come together and they help each other and everything changes in that moment. And then once the crisis is over, they go back to their yeah. their busy minds. So that's what I think, but that was way yeah. too long a response.
No. So let me rephrase it. So is there anything that you did today that made you feel, that made you pause or take a breath or made you happy or made you feel clear? Or calm? Is there anything that you did already today? I think I'm stumping her out, guys out there.
Yeah. Well, last night I was trying to meditate. Actually, when you asked me that question, it kind of brought me into that moment.
Yeah.
To pause. Yeah.
Yeah. So there are moments that are happening all the time. And this is good. I'm glad that you responded the way you did, because I think that most of us are like this. Like, we don't really pay attention to those moments that make us feel bright. Consciously, we don't, because we're busy doers, right? I'm a doer. I don't know about you, but I'm a doer. My list is very long, right? So there are moments, say, when you're driving home from work and you stop at a red light and you look up and all of a sudden you see this magnificent sunset. And you just look for a moment. Or when you meet someone's gaze, you're buying coffee and you meet the person across from you, you meet their gaze for a moment. And it's almost as if, like you said, time stands still for a split second. Or the moment you take that first sip of coffee in the morning, or you smell dinner, right? Those moments with your children or on the beach or in the woods or just sitting in your backyard. Those little pauses that happen all day long. So they are really important because that's where our life is. That's where we directly experience our lives. Our senses light up, right? We're fully present, even if it's for one moment. And so when we can start to look at those moments and start to recognize, I call them glimpses of being alive, we'll start to recognize them more. It's like buying a new car, like you're decided on the make And then all of a sudden you see them everywhere. You know what I mean? That's what this is like. What makes me feel alive? All of a sudden you're walking through your house and you notice the flowers on the table and you recognize, you know, flowers make me feel alive. Or you're laying on the ground playing with your dog. My dog just recently passed away. But you're laying on the ground playing with your dog and you realize, this makes me feel alive. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It does.
Yeah.
And then on the one hand, I kind of have this judgment of myself because when you asked me what makes you feel alive, I wanted to list off petting dogs and things like that. But then the judgment is, well, those are external things.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's the right answer.
Yeah. Any moment when we can fully show up for it, like right now, this conversation, I'm not thinking about other stuff. I'm really just right here. I feel jazzed. I feel energized. When we're present, it's like we're being plugged into a transformer. I once heard a teacher, Carolyn Miss, say this. When we're present, it's like we're plugged into an outlet. We are being charged with what I call high voltage energy. So when we show up to cook dinner, when we're just enjoying cooking dinner, or we show up for a friend in need and we're fully present, we get this charge of energy. This is what helps us shine. We get charged with this intelligent energy, right? Coming back to what you said before about intuition, this intelligence when we're right here, where we know what to do. We know what to say. We know what not to say. We know how to proceed or to let be. We just know. We know.
So, Kara, is the goal to be... you can find her at karabradley.net. Is the goal to be in that state all the time or just to recognize those glimpses?
Yeah, that's great. We're not going to be in that state all the time. We're thinking beings. Thinking is going to continue to happen for us. Emotions will continue to rise. But what we can do is shift our perspective of how we treat thoughts and how we get involved in our emotions. Listen, we're all going to be sad from time to time or feel fear. I mean, fear has kept our species alive, right? But it's our relationship with our emotions. It's our relationship with our thoughts to recognize that repeating thought in your mind about the fact that you have to call your brother about the holiday dinner. You know, you don't need to repeat that 50,000 times. You can recognize it and let it go, right? So it's our relationships with thoughts and emotions that start to shift. I think it was Eckhart Tolle who wrote The Power of Now, one of my favorite books. He said that thinking mind is an instrument, right? Used wisely, it's very, very beneficial. But used wrongly, it can take us over and it can cause disease. And most of us live in that place where our thinking mind has taken us over. Does that make sense?
It does. It makes me think of computers, which are a valuable tool, and yet now we're so connected all the time that we don't get a break.
That's right. The instrument has taken us over. You know, for many of us, myself included, my phone is with me all the time. It's taken me over. Yeah, and that's exactly what our busy mind is like. It's like that computer. We can find the knobs once again. And this is what a lot of the practices that I teach are pointing to. By noticing, we start to be able to turn down the volume, level off the bass, you know, balance the speakers so that it feels more natural. It feels more easy. Like I said before, there's an ease, a clarity.
Well, you've mentioned the practices, and the one you've mentioned already is let it go and let it be. What's maybe the best practice to start? I always want to know what's going to give me the most bang for my buck. Where's the best place to start?
Yeah. So the first Verge practice is called Notice This Moment. And Notice This Moment is basic mindfulness, but really, really simple practices, little activities called primer practices. The primer practices are ways to help you notice, right? So this word is important. Notice, where am I right now? Okay, I'm speaking to Marie. Where am I right now? Okay, I need to be here, right? Noticing when you're pulled away from the moment, or noticing if you're getting caught up in emotions, or noticing if you feel alive. Noticing, noticing, noticing starts to wake us up from being caught in our busy mind. So notice this moment can happen in a lot of ways. And in the book and on the app, I have these primer practices. So the primer word I use, you know, on your lawnmower, you have that little button, that little squishy button. I don't know if you, and you gotta
think of the pulley thing, but
yeah. Okay, but you have to prime the pump. It kind of gets the gas going. The primer practices are ways to do that. They prime you to start noticing everything in your life. So one of my favorite primer practices is sky gazing.
Mm.
And everyone can do this. You might even be able to do it right now while you're listening to us, is to look out the window, or maybe you're fortunate to be outside, is just to look up at the sky. And that's it. Like for a minute or whatever you have, 5 minutes, look up at the sky and breathe. And with each exhale, you can imagine your exhale just kind of going whoosh, opening out into the sky. That's it. I mean, this is all you need to do. This lightens the load. It settles your mind. It helps you to feel your expansiveness and the expansiveness around you. Sky gazing, really simple.
Yeah, I remember when you, I'm sure you do too, when we were young, when we were kids, mm-hmm. kids would just lie outside and look up at the sky. I don't know if kids do that anymore because we're all down here like this now.
Yeah.
But even just talking about it, I love the way it feels.
Yeah. You know, I think for me, what really drives me to teach and what really drove me to write the book is that I feel like we are really just on the verge. And I really mean this in the way it's used out there in the world. We're on the verge of recognizing our brilliance. We're just right there. And if we can just let go of our need to do and think and allow ourselves to be and experience more, we'll start to recognize and access this potential that we all have. And here's the great thing. When I shine, I help you shine. And when you shine, you help the person you see in the grocery store shine, even if you don't talk to them. When I'm present, I can help you be present just in talking. You know, we can both find a new way to be together. And so this isn't just a, you know, me writing to help Marie. This is to help Marie help others and so on and so on.
So Kara, again, we're speaking with Kara Bradley, the author of On the Verge, Wake Up, Show Up, and Shine for the World, right? That's not part of the Wake Up, Show Up, and Shine. KaraBradley.net is her website. You mentioned how we're all on the verge. Humanity is on the verge, and yet there's so much going on in the world with climate change and politics and poverty, and the list goes on. And some moments it's like, it feels like we're on the verge, we're almost there. And then other moments when we look at what's going on, the fear, the flight, all of that comes up. So you, as the author of On the Verge and teaching all of this, how do you respond? You must have fear when you look at the state of the world. Mm-hmm. How do you let that go, let it be? How do you trust that things are going to work out?
Yeah, it's really a great question. You know, for me personally, this is the way I teach, when I can show up in this moment, in this moment, I will know exactly what I need to do to be brilliant. You know, and now here's another moment. Can I show up right now? And so it's this ever-flowing experience of moments. And as I continue to hone and cultivate my capacity to just arrive in the center of my life, I will naturally open. My heart will open. My mind will settle and clear so that I know the direction I need to go. And if you think about it, if more and more and more of us start to wake up in this way, those that are inclined to clean up the waters will clean up the waters. Those that are inclined to do their part in schools will do their part in schools or in politics or in the environment. I feel like when we do show up in this moment, we know our natural capacities. You know, I'm a teacher. I'm a passionate teacher with an incredible desire to support others in finding their brilliance and feeling alive and experiencing life fully. So I hope that that's my part in this whole waking up, right? They say Lao Tzu, the flutter of a butterfly's wings in China can cause the windstorm on the other side of the world. So it's my responsibility to show up right now and right now and right now. And it's okay if I don't all the time. It's okay. It's just, this is my job. This is my work right now and right now. Does that make sense?
It does in theory. And then, you know, I'm feeling your words and your presence. And then part of my mind is like, but how... Because there's almost this feeling of like, well, I'm waking up. I've got to make sure everybody else wakes up. And there's so much that needs to be done. And for some of us, it's like the weight of the world.
Yeah, I know.
But when you have that, when you're carrying that around, you don't get anything done.
Yeah. Well, you may be getting more done than you think, right? So my presence is helping others wake up to their presence, to their brilliance, and so on, and so on, and so on. So I understand what you're saying. I do. I think that when we can continue to really look at the way we're living, because that's all we can control. It's all we can control, really. And it's not even, control is not even the right word, but is how I'm showing up in this moment, right? I could have showed up in a very different way with my friends when they lost their child. I could have been like a raving mess, crying and cleaning and cooking or whatever and not being present for them. I was able to, and I'm so grateful I had the capacity to do this then, was able to show up for them as they needed me to show up. Right? We can show up for our lives in the way that the world needs us to show up for, in the exact way that we can do, you know, and if we continue to do it and share it with others, I do trust that as we trust our own intelligence, it will wake up the world. It will at some point.
Thank you. Okay. I want to ask... All right. I'm just all over the place. On the verge. Wake up, show up, and shine. Shine your sparkles. Kara Bradley. KaraBradley.net is where you can find more information and hopefully a link to the app, which we'll talk about in just a moment. But that showing up and being present, do you have anything to say about that urge to... make other people, like when, if you want to set an example, I think a lot of the time when we get a little bit of knowledge, that can be a bit of a dangerous thing, because then we want to start telling other people how they should live their lives, which is not going to help them.
Yeah.
So how do you balance that passion to share what you know without being that person that's ramming it down people's throats?
That's so great. As you were speaking, a quote came to mind. Emerson said, "Who you are speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying." It's really how we show up for others. And I talk for a living, you know, but I also recognize that it's who I am. It's really my state of presence or my lack of presence that precedes me as a teacher or as a mother or as a friend. You know, am I caught in doubt or fear, or am I calculated in my words, or am I fully present for you? And we can feel each other in that way. We don't need to say as much as we think we need to say, right? I know the hard way. Trust me.
Yeah. Well, I'm thoroughly enjoying this conversation, and whenever I do an interview, especially on video, there's always more going on. It's like, oh, how am I? It's like the angle, and is that okay? And there's all these other things, and your presence is really helping me to be more present. And I truly appreciate that, and obviously the impact that you are having on the world. So I just want to acknowledge you for that. Thank you so much. Okay, can we talk about the app?
Yes.
I don't want to run out of time.
But first, I just want to say, you know, you've got a great presence about you, too.
Thank you.
You've got a delightful energy.
Thank you.
Yeah. So the app. The app is out. On the Verge is called, it's called On the Verge. It's on the App Store, coming out in Android very soon. And right now the app has the primer practices, guided practices. A lot of them are 5 minutes. You can do them all the time on your phone. There's a couple of videos, a couple of movement videos, beginner yoga and all levels yoga, and a moving meditation. Notes to self, which is one of my practices. So this is a great feature of the app where it will ding or not ding. You don't need the ding, but it can show up as a notification. Little sayings, reminders, questions, and intentions just to interrupt you perhaps where you are, or to ask you a question, or perhaps to send you a bit of love, like, may I be happy? May I be at ease in this moment? So just little ways that you can continue to show up and shine. And the next version, which we're getting ready to launch, will have some of these same practices, but adapted for teens and kids.
Cool. Yeah. So if someone purchases the On the Verge app now,
it's free.
Oh, it is. Oh,
it's free.
That's even better. I was getting ready to buy it.
How about that?
Yay. Okay. Well, then I guess it doesn't matter. Is it going to automatically update, or will they have to re-download the new version?
No, I think you get a regular update on it. And so just go to the App Store and review it. If you would review it, that'd be really helpful, because then it gets seen by more people.
Cool. Wow. A free app. Perfect.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. That's like even more to be thankful for today. Woohoo. Okay. So I'd like to talk about the personal best that you mentioned in the beginning, but I'm wondering if there's anything else you feel is more important to address before we get into that.
Just real quickly, it's really the basis of why I teach, is that for those of you listening or watching, there's no better version of you out there somewhere in the future. There's nothing you need to learn or to do or to buy that's going to make you any better in showing up and shining. Everything you need, you have right here. It may just be a shift of perspective beyond your busyness or beyond your negative emotions. Just, again, noticing and recognizing the things that make you feel bright and alive. Start to check that space out a little bit more and see what happens.
And it's probably not being on Facebook all day.
No.
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 All right. Well, the personal best, when you were sharing the story about your personal best in running, it reminded me of how frequently we compare our current state to someone else's what we perceive as their personal best. Like, I have a habit of comparing myself to these huge, successful people. Yeah. And all that does is shut me down. Like, that's the same thing that we do with Facebook. Yes. We look on Facebook and we see what people are presenting their lives to be, which probably is not that accurate anyway.
Right.
And then we think, oh, my life's not like that.
Yes.
And then we feel worse. So how do we, I mean, what do you teach people around their personal best and focusing on what they can do?
Right. So it's showing up. Again, it all comes back to being present in the moment, when I can be available right now. So start to get to know what that feels like, is really what I'm saying. You know, sometimes when you're working and you're really into a spreadsheet or whatever it is you're doing, you know, a drawing, a song or a podcast, start to get to know what it feels like to be present. The energy, that sense of focus, the aliveness, the determination. When you start to focus on what you're doing and how you can show up, you will start to recognize when you start comparing. Now listen, I compare too. You know, I have a book just launched and I'm trying not to look on Amazon more than once a day because it's, you know, it's tough. It's tough. You know, it's tough. There's numbers comparing you and how your book ranks to 8 million books that are on the market. So, but you have to recognize. And sometimes, you know, I think for me, and I've told my daughters this as well, who are in their early 20s, you know, if you're feeling kind of shaky, don't go on Facebook. You know when you are present enough to go on Facebook, when you're not going to be rocked by seeing somebody else's persona, which it is, it's a mask, right? So I think that it comes back to who we are speaks so loudly. I can't hear what you're saying, right? Who I am right now. Who am I right now? Can I show up right now? I ask myself questions all day long. I find them to be really helpful because I don't judge myself when I ask questions, right? Can I be here? Can I just be here for this podcast, for this show, without thinking about who's watching, where is it going to be, how many viewers, am I going to get likes, like all that stuff, right? Can I be here right now with Marie and the rest of you? It's the questions. It's the here. It's the here. It's the verge.
So you're asking helpful questions because all those other ones, how many people are there and who's judging me? Those are questions.
Too. Right. No, the helpful questions that kind of nudge you, that nudge you to come back.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Take a breath. On the Verge is the name of the book. Wake Up, Show Up, and Shine by Kara Bradley. You can go to karabradley.net. And then it's, again, the name of the app on the App Store?
On the Verge.
On the Verge. And you can find her, again, at karabradley.net. We have just a few minutes left in the show, and I'm wondering what you would like to leave listeners and viewers with today.
We have this precious life that we don't want to miss. We don't want to wake up one day at the end of our lives, and we don't know when that is, by the way, and say, you know, I really wish I would have showed up more. I really wish I would have laid in the grass and looked at the sky, or I really wish I would have paused to smell my dinner before scarfing it down, or I really wish I would have done this or that. We have this one life to live. Don't miss it by thinking about too much, right? This isn't about doing more. Life isn't about doing more. It's about being. And it's not about thinking more. It's about experiencing. So we can wake up in this moment and show up in this moment and experience the brilliance of what it means to be alive. And if you can do that maybe just a little bit more, then I will have done my job for today.
Okay, before we go, I've got to ask you a question about meditation. I've been trying to practice meditation, and there's so many different techniques.
Yes.
And one that I've heard lately is to just have quiet time because it gives you, like when you're in the shower, we get our most brilliant ideas in the shower because we don't have the TV and the phone and all of that. So how do you balance the work of meditation, which is that bringing it back to the breath or bringing it back, bringing it back, and then just allowing what comes up? What's the right balance there for you?
Yeah, that's a deep question. And the practice of meditation can have so many different angles. But what I will say is that meditation simply means to become familiar with yourself. So we're becoming familiar with ourselves and how we operate in a way that will be helpful to us. So we can know what we're doing and perhaps change or notice when we're in a habitual pattern that doesn't serve us. So sitting quietly isn't a bad thing, because you, as long as you're paying attention and you're getting to know yourself, right? There I go. Here comes the thought. Oops, here's that emotion, that worry again. So you start naming, and this is just one of the ways we can become familiar with ourselves, right? So meditation can mean so many things to different people. I would say there's probably 9 or 10 different types of short meditations on the app and in the book. And then there's also guided instruction for mindfulness meditation, which is a specific type of meditation, which is paying attention on purpose. So I don't know if I really answered your question because it's a big one, but becoming familiar with yourself, I think, is a good way to start to look at this practice.
Thank you. No, that's really helpful, because a lot of us want to do it right, and we want to know the one right way, and there's not necessarily just one path.
Right. Correct.
Oh, yeah. It's been such a pleasure speaking with you, Kara. Again, Kara Bradley, the author of On the Verge, Wake Up, Show Up, and Shine, and you can find the On the Verge app on the App Store, hopefully soon, Android, you said.
Yes, it's coming. It's in the works.
Android. And again, you can go to karabradley.net. Thank you so much to Kara Bradley for being with us today.
Thank you, Marie. Thank you.
And thank you for watching or listening in any time or space. We really appreciate that. And if you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe to this channel. If you're listening on podcast or any way, if you feel inspired and you think someone else needs to know about this, please share it with them. I want to send you, Kara, and you listeners and viewers, lots of love. Be well. Namaste.
Namaste.
You're listening to CITR 101.9. Broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Music Race is back again on June 2nd to 5th, all across East Vancouver. Music Race and Arts Race are presenting independent arts and cultural makers. Featuring Skyoti, SC, Stream Team, Jay Anna, Gun Control, Ace Red Twins, Soul Loki, Supermoon, Stefana Fatida, Lay Spring, Morning Coop, TV Ugly, Data Plan, and more. Check out Music Waves on Facebook or head over to musicways.ca for all the information.
As Vancouver's longest-running volunteer-driven celebration of music and art, Music Waste showcases the talents of Vancouver's independent art and culture makers. This year's festival will take place from June 2nd to 5th in a variety of venues across East Vancouver. Music Waste needs volunteers to run door shifts and bar shifts, and Art Waste needs volunteers to help set up and take down art shows. Volunteers who do 2 or more shifts receive a Music Waste pass. To sign up, visit the Music Waste Facebook page by May 20th.
You are listening to 101.9. Oh, that's why I can't hear myself, because I put the cue on. You are listening to 101.9 CITR. And, oh, I didn't, why am I even talking right now? I haven't even set up my song. Broadcast out of the brand new student union building. It's not that new anymore.